Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the intro. This is the pre-intro intro where we're saying, this is an extra long episode, so we're splitting it into two episodes.
Two episodes, a one and then a two.
The second,
and then a three and then a four. No, just two.
The second one is going to, I think we did that last year from memory now that I think about
this
it.
This is this real schmozzle.
And then we finish and we realize we should probably do it this way.
We've ended this year on this podcast like the year of 2020 disastrously.
The second one towards the end gets a bit loopy, just so you know.
But yeah, we get loose.
But anyway, so if this stops abruptly, it's because there'll be one the following week.
Correct.
All right.
On with the show. We made it. It's the end of 2020.
Yeah, but it's like as people who are awful point out, it's just a date. Like all the things don't stop.
Yeah, well, then everything's anything.
Everything is anything.
Everything is just anything and nothing matters. That's not how it is. Hello, I'm James and Claire is here also. And somehow I've made it to this end of the year and I don't know my own name, but I do know that this show is called The Weekly Planet.
Oh, my goodness. You've got it all wrong.
No, this is Decibel Podcast. We recommend you things and this is our inaugural second best of the year.
Wrapping it all up.
And just to give you a little insight into our two personalities, James has been collating all of his suggestibles all year in one document. So then he just went through and highlighted all of his.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, did not. I put them in all weird separate documents. Some are handwritten, some were in my phone, some are probably, I don't know, used for toilet paper. Who knows? And so then I had to go back through all of the episodes and look at all the meticulous show notes that Roy Collins has put together to remind myself what happened in this godforsaken year, because I couldn't remember a thing.
Yeah, well, neither could I, but I just had them all in the one you just – just open a Google Doc and I just add them in every time. And then if I don't get to something, I just move it to the top of my list.
All right.
So I've got like six things that I've got ready to go in the chamber, mate. Six shit up.
All right, I heard you. I had to make a list and now I've highlighted. It's all not – it's not good. Anyone else out there feel like their systems are not very good?
Not me.
Do you know what it is?
Airtight.
My brain is so large, the systems – are so complex.
Then why is your head so small?
Mere mortals wouldn't understand.
You've got like a pinhead. I don't understand. Is your brain like pushing up against your skull?
No, my head is a regular size. It's my shoulders, James.
Oh, okay.
I'm very broad shoulders.
The dog's trying to get out,
woman.
So I'm just going to let the dog out.
A schmozzle.
While I let the dog out, do you want to go through
the reasons why broad-shouldered women
nobody
are the
sexiest? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Sexist?
Do you know what? Sexiest? No, sexiest. Oh. I don't know if they're sexiest.
Yeah, just
some
go through the top, the subheadings. Whatever we're doing.
All right. So we're looking at today, if you're interested, our favourite films of the year, our favourite documentaries, our favourite comedy things, our favourite books, our favourite TV shows, our favourite music, our favourite podcasts, and favourite things that we made this year, and then anything else that we can bloody well chuck in there too. So we're going to get started.
Let's do it.
And we're going to start with a film. I really just did not watch a lot of film, I realised, because I feel like this year was a real golden age for television.
And a lot of them got pushed back as well.
Correct. I mean, cinemas were shut. If you're listening to this in the future, cinemas were not even open for most of the year. And I think still in a lot of places in the world, they're probably not open. Or people don't want to go because of the virus thing.
And there's not really anything out.
Correct. Well, that's the other part of it. So, James, start us off. What was your favourite film of this year?
I've written down three. Okay. And they're all very different and I like them for different reasons.
Here he goes.
But I'm not going to go into it because we already did episodes. So I'm just going to list them and then I'm going to be quiet.
That's so boring.
I don't really like Netflix movies generally. I think they're fine. But I thought the Trial of the Chicago 7, the Aaron Sorkin movie, was excellent.
That was very good.
It wasn't an entirely accurate depiction of everybody in that movie, but I thought
I enjoyed Borat. He was excellent.
Yes, I also saw Borat this year as well. I've been so Borat.
I mean Borat was in that movie.
The character?
No, the actor.
My trial.
Oh no. It's
can't
a
do that. You can't say that.
Film.
And it is.
But the guy, Sacha Baron Cohen.
And there's a lot of parallels to today and protest. And I'm sorry, everybody. Our daughter arcs up whenever the podcast starts. She knows. It happens literally every week.
She knows.
Also, The Invisible Man, I think, was my favorite movie I saw at cinemas. Directed by Lee Whannell, and I did see it in cinemas, and starring Elizabeth Moss.
My favorite
VOD movie that I watched at home,
what's VOD,
a video on demand, was probably Greenland.
It's not like the best Jared Butler.
Yeah, it's like
I'm sexy and gruff. I'm Jared Butler.
It's definitively not like the best movie of the year. It's probably not even the best of streaming, but I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
See, it's funny that you say Greenland. A lot of my recommendations or suggestions that were my favorites weren't necessarily the most accomplished. They were the ones that I just enjoyed because I felt like this year was so bleak in so many ways and I just wanted to watch and consume and read things that I just enjoyed.
Yeah, totally.
So they're my
– All my TV is pretty much that.
Yeah, right. Rather than necessarily being like, there are ones in there that I think were really important or had really diverse casts and, you know, I thought were really interesting and great. But my really favorite ones were just the ones where I just got swept up.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, we before the show, you were like, oh, you watched the unbelievable, the Toni Collette series about the assaults.
You know, excellent.
But I'm just like, it was amazing. But I'm like, I didn't enjoy it. I don't want to watch it again.
And that's, I think this year there's just so much less brain space, you know.
Yeah.
The news cycle is so dark or has been so dark and so grim. So my recommendations are,
And what are your movie recommendations,
all right,
if any?
Interesting you say The Invisible Man because I also had The Invisible Man on my list. Yeah, and I don't even really like thriller-esque movies, but I just got so absorbed in this. And Elizabeth Moss, just her face moves in such great, terrifying ways.
Yeah, it does.
And I just really thought it was a cool concept for a film. I like the special effects and the way they did that.
Or the lack of.
The lack of, that's what I mean. Like I just thought I really enjoyed that as a premise. And I also thought it really explored issues that are in marriages and all that kind of stuff, relationships and
domestic violence.
Spousal abuse, all of that stuff. I thought it was really good.
Just quickly, there's a piece of fluff that I've been meaning to get that's been sitting on the soundproofing foam behind you all year.
All right.
And I'm like, I'm going to get that. And then today I'm like, no, just get it. So I'm looking at you and I'm looking at that. I've just been doing that all year. Just my eyes like darting back and forth.
Tell me that.
It's like, got it.
Oh, wow.
So what
we're
I'm
really
going to do, I'm going to put it here on my side so you... You have to stare at it.
Just someone for the rest of the year next year. Who knows what the world will be in 2021. Dear God. Okay, so The Invisible Man was one. But if you're looking for something lighthearted, I really enjoyed all those rom-coms that were coming out on Netflix. And my favorite one was actually Plus One with Maya Erskine and Jack Quaid. Yeah, that one where they just
like
kind of rollick around going to a whole lot of different weddings.
Yeah, that was good. I liked that one.
Yeah, and it wasn't particularly like unique or anything. I really like the sense of humor. I really like Maya Erskine. I hadn't seen her in anything before. I liked her comedy. I liked
her
wit.
She's from Pen 15, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to watch that.
Yeah, and she was great. And I thought Jack Quaid, obviously, you know, he's got some famous parents there.
He's quite charismatic. The Auntie Donna series.
Yeah, is he?
I should put that on the list because I actually didn't put Auntie Donna on, but I actually
they're
I
so good.
Because I didn't have it in my list because
Parasite came out this year.
Did it?
Yeah, the very beginning of the year.
Oh, Parasite was amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I had that on my list as well. Like that was also an amazing film, but in the end I'm putting like kind of like popcorn movies.
I've seen Parasite twice.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. I remember you called it super early. Anyway,
I don't
so
think
that
I
was
did.
Also
I think all the awards – called it and then I saw it. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was really good. No, but you saw it early, I reckon.
Did I?
Anywho.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, next up. A documentary.
Okay. So this is one I just want to mention. It's not my favorite. It's just one of those. If it wasn't so like serious, it would be a comedy, like an absolute fucking joke. It's called The Ripper on Netflix, and it's about a murderer through the 70s. He killed like 10, maybe 20 women and assaulted like various others with like hammers to the back of the head. For like even longer than that.
Oh, Lord.
And so he was like the new Jack the Ripper and they were like, how are we going to catch this guy or whatever? But the reason they caught him by accident at the end, as they always do with these fucking guys from that era, and it's just incompetent cops just fucking banging into rakes. Do you know what I mean? Just fucking walking around. Like, there's moments where they're like, well, the guy that we're looking for, he wasn't smiling, but this man we're interviewing, he's smiling and he's wearing a different green hat, so this must be a different guy. Like, it's literally like they find the guy who's so close to him, because it is him.
Yeah.
Like, they interview him, yeah, and they're like, no, his accent's different. It's not him. Don't bother me with this. But it's like literally every wow, other piece of evidence lines up, right?
Yeah.
And then in the end, they figured out after they accidentally caught him, by the way, through some good police work, to be fair, because are good cops working on it. They'd already interviewed him 9 times and he'd been spotted in the local area of these murders 50 times.
Jesus.
50 fucking times.
And they couldn't find
him because it's just people being like, well, we think he's from here and we think he only murders prostitutes, but he's just murdering like anybody. And they're like, well, this doesn't fit with our narrative, so this must be a different murder. Or that woman was murdered, so she must be a prostitute. And the family's like, yeah, she wasn't a prostitute. And they're like, we don't care. Which is a prostitute. I'm watching it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow.
Like, it's just the sheer incompetence.
So it wasn't
staggering.
That he was clever.
No, he was a fucking idiot.
Oh, man. Because it's the complete opposite to I'll Be Gone in the Dark, which is a really excellent documentary. Not my favorite, but the murderer, it's a true story, but the murderer in that was actually just super clever in lots of ways.
Yeah, totally. And there are people like that do exist. But like, if you look at like this guy and like Ted Bundy, who escaped out a courtroom window during his trial and then
and
broke into a sorority house and did like terrible things. It's like, you don't want to cuff him or like have someone in the room. Like, it's just like, what are you guys doing?
I know. And I guess they didn't have DNA either.
Yeah.
So they didn't have like, cause that's how they caught the killer in I'll Be Gone in the Dark in the end. Cause they had DNA tracing.
And the crazy thing was also like when they did catch him and I can't remember his fucking name, whatever, but they were like, they're like, can you believe it? It's just like, he looks like anybody. He looks like a regular man. Yeah. What do you think he's going to look like? He's got fucking 4 arms and he's just screaming and running down the
street. Wearing a t-shirt that says I'm a serial killer.
I think they're like, they're looking for Jack the Ripper, looking for a big top hat and a cape and a knife and he's skulking around. But like, he was a lorry driver from wherever. I'm like, yeah. He's a guy. What did you think?
Spoiler alert, it's usually blokes.
Yeah, it's always blokes.
Fairly ordinary. Yeah.
But it was just baffling to me. I'm like, wow. It made me mad. Like, I didn't enjoy it. And again, there were good people who worked on it, do you know what I mean? But they interviewed a lot of the women who were attacked at the time who survived, who were just like, yeah, they didn't believe me. Like, I said that this guy and I drew a picture and it turned out to be the guy and they were like, nah. And it was nuts.
Yeah.
It was really frustrating.
Yeah, I bet it was. I bet it was a little more frustrating for the people involved than frustrating.
Yeah, probably more frustrating also, than for me, yes.
And I think that actually speaks to a larger issue at the time where women just weren't believed.
Totally.
Women who were murdered, sex workers were not treated in the same way.
100%.
And so dismissed and a murder of someone on that in the streets like that was just not seen as important.
It's
a huge chasm. Is it the Teacher's Pet, that podcast?
Yeah.
A woman was murdered by her husband. It is clearly, it's just so obvious that he did it.
That's great.
But they just never people just didn't think it was their business and women weren't believed and their value wasn't seen and her voice is heard in the same way. Anyway, let's move on.
You've
been talking about this forever.
No, sorry.
It's really depressing. Yeah, I want to move on.
You're absolutely right. I have one more thing to say now. I can't remember. But
it's just ranting. I'm moving you on. Move along, sir. Move along. Okay,
anyway,
my turn.
Bad. Oh, that's right. Yeah. All the cops were from the same area. It was like the same, like, they didn't go outside of it to. And the only reason it caught on was because the third person he killed, but probably not, was what they considered like an innocent. They were like, and they wrote a letter and they're like, you accidentally killed a 16-year-old girl, not a prostitute. You killed an innocent. I bet you feel bad now. And he's like, nah, I love murdering. I don't care. It was crazy. It's crazy. Don't watch it. Anyway, go on.
Oh, my God, it's on Netflix.
Yeah. Don't watch it.
The Ripper. Good. Okay, I'm going to move on now to the documentary I loved. Okay, so two that were like my runners-up that I watched so many good documentaries this year, Expecting Amy, the documentary with Amy Schumer's pregnancy. Oh, my God. it was just so, it gave me so much insight into the craft that goes into being a comedian and also the lead up to her stand-up special Growing, which was really awesome, and that came out last year. But Expecting Amy, oh my, I loved it for so many reasons. One, because it gave me such an insight into just how much work goes into being a stand-up comedian and creating an hour-long amount of material.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like the pinnacle for stand-ups, and I hadn't realized it's like the Olympics basically. To spend a whole hour making an audience laugh is, you know, supremely difficult.
So much goes into it.
Yeah, so much goes into it. And I had no idea. They just make it look effortless. So,
well, the good ones do.
Correct. Yeah. So that was one thing. But the other thing that I thought she explored so honestly and openly was her condition, hyperemesis gravidarum, which is just insanely terrible morning sickness where you're hospitalized for like vomiting and it's just awful. And Kate Middleton,
it's not a Harry Potter spell, hyperamicus carabellum, whatever.
Everyone wishes it was. I just, she shone a light on an experience that a lot of women have and just the difficulties that pregnancy brings. And it just, it made my heart sing, even though it looked really difficult. Also, because it showed the relationship between her and her husband, which was really beautiful too. But I really enjoyed that. And the other one that was a runner up was Into the Unknown, the making of Frozen 2.
Oh, you loved that.
Plus.
You know
I
what,
really
though?
Loved it.
Ben, who edits for the Caravan of Garbage and other things, he was turned around on your opinion on Frozen after watching that documentary because he was like, I didn't like it. And then watching that and hearing your opinion on it, he flipped on it.
Oh, Ben, I always knew I liked you, mate.
So there you go.
He's a good one, that one. Well, yeah, I reckon it would change your mind too because the depth of what they go into during that documentary, I just love understanding how people make things, just the inspiration that comes from that and people's creative process is just one of my favorite things to unpack and talk about and dissect because I have such a hard time with it. So I just find it so fascinating and just the sheer amount of work that went into making any animated feature but particularly something with Disney, I think, mind-blowing. But my favourite documentary entire year, drumroll, was My Octopus Teacher. Oh, my God.
No surprises there, actually. I've forgotten about that one,
That was absolutely stunning and heartbreaking. If you haven't watched it, go and watch it immediately. It probably sounds like a documentary about octopuses that you would not want to be into, but my goodness, I think you could watch this with literally anyone and it would just melt their heart. Like it just, it makes you connect with nature in a way that I hadn't thought about as deeply before. It makes you understand how precious life on earth is, how complex.
How precious is life on earth?
Pretty precious.
That's what you can't, that's what it says at the end. Anyway, I figured out that the octopus told me.
Oh, anyway, it's about a man who goes to visit an octopus every day for a year. But the incredible kind of intricacy of the octopus as a creature and how smart they are. They're as smart as kind of cats or dogs. They're very, I had no idea, like their bodies move in such incredible ways. They regrow their tentacles. They have over 2,000 little circles on their tentacles and each one moves in isolation. And it's just this beautiful story. It makes you kind of laugh and surprises you and then makes you cry. And I just loved it. And I just think if you watch nothing else out of this, I reckon watch My Octopus Teacher. It'll just make your heart sing. Oh, I loved it. Okay, so.
I do have some docs just quickly.
Okay.
The Last Dance, which is a Michael Jordan documentary. I think it was on HBO, but it was on Netflix here.
Shooting some hoops.
Yeah, and it's basically him going like,
banging some balls in the holes.
Yeah, he was banging some balls in the holes. Yes, but he was, it's because like a lot of people being like, and he's the best player in the world and whatever, and he's just, and when you cut to him and he's just like, anyway, I hate this guy and he did me wrong, so I ruined him at basketball. And then this guy said this and I ruined, fuck that guy. So he's just got this real like chip on his shoulder. It's like, dude, relax. You are literally the Michael Jordan of basketball. Like you're the best.
It's his competitive nature,
yeah, exactly.
Though, right? That's what goes
but
into it.
My favorite was the Speed Cubers, the Rubik's Cube documentary about the relationship between the different people who do
Rubik's Cubes
for world championships or whatever. It's only short. It's only like 40 minutes. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's the same as that kind of octopus thing. It's like, you don't need to know anything about Rubik's Cubes or anything like that. That was incredible. I loved it.
I still haven't watched that. That's something I'm going to catch up over the summer, I think. I'd love to watch that because it's the intricacy, I think, of watching someone's passion for a hobby that really gets me.
Yeah.
You know, like the ins and outs of it all that like becomes so incredible to me and I think is what makes life worth living sometimes.
Sure.
Is all those tiny little things. about a passion that you're into. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm raving.
I bet an octopus could do a Rubik's Cube.
You know what? I bet an octopus could.
I bet you could teach one to do it.
Yeah, they would totally be into that, I feel. Mm. It's got the right kind of movement for an octopus. I don't know if they can see colour in that way. Who knows? Anyway, oh, there's this bit where the octopus collects shells and covers itself in the shells as like a protection.
Yeah,
thing.
That was cool.
Oh, so good. And then there's some drama. Oh, my God, when the sharks come. Anyway, heart in my mouth. I literally, my heart rate was like racing at that part. Oh, the other good doco is Cheer, about cheerleading. I had no idea it was like so terrifying and death-defying. My God, that full respect to anyone who does professional cheerleading. My God, you'd have to be fearless. Okay, moving right along. Comedy.
Yeah. So I've got some comedy specials, or one in particular, but minor comedy shows. But Ronnie Cheng's stand-up special, which might have been from last year, Asian American Destroy. No, was it Asian Australian Destroys America? I can't remember. Anyway, it's terrific. He just does like a takedown of like, not really a takedown, but he just talks a lot about American culture and Australian culture, and there's this great bit about how he's late for his wedding and he has to get a plane to whatever. It's incredible. It's really great. Ted Lasso was probably my favorite comedy of the year on Apple Plus. It's about a soccer team. They poach a college football player to coach soccer in the UK, even though he doesn't know anything about it.
Farting with your mouth.
That's right. The Detectorist was excellent as well, which I just finished up, which I talked about recently. Moonbase 8, which I also talked about recently, and Auntie Donna. So those are my favourite. Auntie Donna I've watched three times, so not just because I know
you
them.
Loved
but it's
it.
Also, it's you amazing. It.
Yeah,
I do love it.
Yeah, those boys, they're pretty good.
How they do it.
Good.
They do
pretty
it.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So I don't really watch comedy show, TV shows. It's just not really my jam.
Fair enough.
Don't know, just don't really get into it.
Yeah.
However, I loved the following comedy specials that came out this year. Celia Piccola, All Talk on Amazon Prime. Actually, Amazon Prime have a plethora of incredible,
they
particularly
do.
Australian comedian
They got a Will Anderson.
Specials. They do, really great too. Excellent. But Celia Piccola, chef's kiss. I love that woman. She's hilarious. She also has co-written and stars in a TV show called Rose Haven with Luke McGregor. That's really, really good.
I gotta watch that season. Oh, I think the last two. I think I'm two behind.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Anyway, I just love her. I saw her live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and she's just so great. Now, new comedian I found this year who I bloody love, Zoe Coombs-Ma. She did her comedy special called Bossy Bottom, and it involves tech and like a one of those like camera things that flies around. What are they called?
Drones.
A drone. It's just like, it's bloody great. And she's hilarious and has been around the comedy circus for a very long time. It's like refreshing and interesting. Will Anderson actually called it his favourite comedy show he's seen in like the last 10 years. He saw it twice. He would said he would have gone to see it.
I need
twice.
To watch this.
Yeah, it's really good. And then I also really enjoyed Michelle Buteau, Welcome to Buteopia. I really liked her this year. Bloody love that special.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, it's so good. She's got like amazingly big curly hair. She was in the TV show The First Wives Club. You'd recognize her if you saw it. Anyway, loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
And my last favorite one was End Times Fun by Marc Maron. The Marc Maron
that was good.
Special. It was so good. And spooky because it came out in March and it was kind of like foretelling all the things that were going to happen this year in a weird way because it's all about like basically the end of the world and how it's like looming. And he kind of he talks out loud all this stuff that ended up kind of, or at least how we all kind of felt about the year. So it was really interesting. And I really enjoy it. I really like him. I really liked him in Glee. The wrestling show.
Oh, Glow. Yeah, but they cancelled. They had to cancel Glow. It.
I know. I'm so heartbroken by that. I loved that show. But he was so good in that show as well. And obviously his podcast, WTF. I mean, it's classic. So I loved him. Okay, that's all my comedy specials.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What else we got? What's the next topic?
Ooh, so
books. Oh, no.
Books, James.
I'm going to do comedies. Die, which is about people getting stuck in a Dungeons & Dragons world, but it's a comic and it's also a nightmare because they're like, oh, this is bad actually. And also Bog Bodies, which is by Declan Shavey, which is about it's about the moors and spooky things and like mobsters and stuff.
Ooh.
It's a graphic novel. So check that
the
out.
Moors.
The moors. Like
the moors.
The moors
like set
area.
On the moors? Yeah. In England, like those big, like kind of swampy.
Yeah, they go
fields.
There to like dump a body, but like it.
Ooh, so So many spooky things.
What about you and books? Books?
Books. Wuthering Heights happens on the moors, I think.
I've never read Wuthering Heights.
Very romantic. Oh. And dark.
They're like, oh, let's climb into this bog and have a bog swim at night.
No, it's more like a castle in the middle of nowhere. And is it Roger? No, what's his name? I can't remember now. But it's like a romance with this like spooky guy and his wife is like a ghost or like or haunting the house or something. I don't know. Anyway, it's good. All right, so I've totally botched that. I'm sure that Dave Warnocky on Book Cheat has actually done a really good job of describing what happens in Wuthering Heights. Anywho, moving right along. So my favourite books. Now, I had a baby this year, just to preface this. So I really didn't do as much reading as I wanted to. Also, we had a pandemic, you know, just in case anyone wasn't aware. And so my reading this year has been in like fits and starts where I could sneak it in. And also my concentration is shot. I just think that this year
that's like lack of sleep and two kids and working from home and whenever you get a time by yourself, I come in and go, hey, I'm working on a Fonzie impersonation.
Does do that. That's
what I've been doing all year.
Oh, so. I'm already yawning, my guy. Hey. So that's like,
hang on. Hey, there it is.
Okay. Hey. Can I keep going? Yes. All right. So I thought I would just talk about books in a few little bits and pieces. So probably my favorite book of the year was Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
You do love that book, Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
I love it. I have it beside my bed and I just open up and read it when I need to be reminded about boundaries and believing in yourself and
the struggle of womanhood. When I come in and you're like, now is not the time for your Arthur Fonzarello impersonation, James.
Correct, exactly. That book is just wonderful and really life-affirming and
everybody
has a lot of teachable moments in it, and it will change your life and your perspective on a lot of things. And it also kind of gives you permission to live the life that you want to. And anyway, it's great and I love it. And I just also Glennon Doyle just throughout this year in particular, I've really enjoyed her Instagram. It's been really awesome.
You have been on there a lot.
I have. And also Untamed is like a New York Times bestseller and just smashing it out of the park. So I'm not the only one that's thought it was really good. Other than that, I really enjoyed 3 Hours by Rosamund Lupton that I only finished recently. If you want just a page turner, a book that you pick up and it grips you by the horns and suddenly it's 3 a.m. in the morning and you've just finished it. That's the one for you. It's like a page turner.
I don't want that.
If you want something that will make you think and look at things from a different perspective, Know My Name by Chanel Miller. I really loved that. And then I loved exploring.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that. That was really fascinating.
Yeah. And I really loved exploring not only her story about her sexual assault and what happened to her, but what she did with her life after that and her art. And her writing, I really enjoyed learning all about her story and her world. And I just think she's a really fascinating, clever, creative person.
Yeah, right.
So I really enjoyed that book too. And Educated by Tara Westover I read really early in the year. And hers was a really interesting story too.
Yeah, right.
So there you go. They're my books, my top picks.
I got to read like an actual book. I read The Prestige for A Caravan of Garbage. That was good, I guess. But I didn't love it. I wasn't like, oh, my God.
Do you think your concentration is shot?
No, I think, yeah, maybe, but, like, I should do audiobooks. I should just do audiobooks. It's just.
It's not exactly reading. But, yeah, you should.
It doesn't matter. What are you, the book police?
Yeah, I am. Hello, my name is Captain Book Police. I'm policing your book
reading. Who are you looking for?
I'm looking for you because you haven't been reading all your books.
Ah, no, I'm the Fonz. Hey, you're looking for someone else. Hey.
Get out of here. Get out of here. We might have to split this episode into a two.
No, we do one episode and then we go to bed.
Dear.
Hours apart.
God. Dear God. All right. Fine. Bloody taskmaster over there.
Thank you.
Should get the the podcast police onto you.
Hey, I'm the
I
Fonz.
Am crawling over the line. I am like rolling over the line from this year. I thought last year I was crawling. This year I'm like inchworming over.
You were crawling because you were pregnant for 9 months for 15 months.
Yeah, the end of last year I was like a giant woman.
You were so pregnant for so long.
I was so pregnant for so long. And then I remember Christmas feeling like I surely can't get any more pregnant than this. And then I got way more pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, it was a lot. Anyway, she's worth it. She's a legend. Anyway, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Love to you guys. And we'll see you in the new year, 2021.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.